Welcome to Canadian Politique. I'm Cameron Bishop.
I'm Leanne Didman.
I'm Mike McDougall.
And today on the pod, we have lots to talk about: the midterm election, the blue wave that hit. We're going to talk about Trump's meltdown yesterday at his, post-election press conference, and dick pic Tony Clement. We're going to be talking about lewd Tony and his dirty, dirty deeds, sending gross pictures to young women across the country. But first, let's roll in with a little mashup of election night for the Democrats.
This is a very significant defeat for Mr. Trump, a historic accomplishment for the Democrats. Even though some House races remain undecided, CNN can now make this projection with a very high degree of confidence based on statistical models that track races that Democrats already have won and analyze the races where they're leading significantly right now. Again, CNN can now project that Democrats will win the majority in the U.S. House of Representatives. Jake, this is a huge win for the Democrats.
It is all over the place, but it is also very interesting in its diversity. I mean, you have never seen a house like this. We, you know, for most of our lives, we just looked down from the gallery and saw a bunch of guys in gray suits. And now it's people of every imaginable ethnicity and many, many more women. And so, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a very, very different house.
Donald Trump said that he was on the ballot in this election. Well, I'm really proud to say Nevada responded accordingly. The politics of fear and division, they have lost.
I've just learned Dave Wasserman, who's our expert on the House, says over 100 women have been elected to the House.
For the first time ever?
Yeah.
Hey, wow. That seems like we should have a cake or something.
Graphic.
Seems like we should do something.
So, Mike and Leanne, why did the Democrats win?
Well, because Trump's a terrible person, unlike Jim Acosta. He's actually a very terrible person, and people are disgusted by what they're seeing.
Mike?
I mean, the Democrats have been campaigning for the midterm elections since, you know, November 8th, 2016, and they did a really good job. They did a different job than they did in Hillary Clinton's run for president, where they focused their resources, and they had some good candidates too. And, you know, this was the country getting out to vote. And I think that is the main thing. One of the critiques of 2016 is that enough people didn't vote because everybody thought that it would, you know, Clinton was going to win and there's no way Trump could. And this was, you know, their message. You know, President Obama came out and everybody came out and said, you have to get out and you have to vote. And that's what they did. And they won because of it.
So a couple of things
I
think.
10%, a historic 10% jump in the youth vote. So that those kids from the Florida shooting. And even people like Taylor Swift, who, you know, say what you will about Taylor Swift, that had an impact. The kids got out and voted, and there's going to be more of them in 2 years eligible to vote. So I think that's a really good sign. Plus Latinos, turnout for Latinos was really high.
Yeah, that's very true.
Those are all very scary signs for Trump in 2020.
Well, and it is the highest voter turnout for a midterm since 1960. And the individuals who voted, the exit polls said that those who voted, 41% said healthcare was the top of their mind, which is fantastic. I think the Democrats did a great job of not taking the bait about the caravan, about the racism,
and
the demagoguery that Trump gets into. And frankly, that's good. Trump was always going to be out there doing the Democrats' job for them. They didn't need to get bogged down in a bunch of crap. And to Mike's point, they did run some really amazing candidates. Like, consider that there are the first Muslim woman, two of the first Muslim women elected to Congress. Can't wait till Mike Pence has to swear them in with their hand on the Quran. You have two Native American women who have been elected. You have members of the LGBTQ community who were elected to the House of Representatives. If you look at the governorships, I mean, that's another fantastic thing. The Democrats have flipped seven governorships. That means they've won in places like Pennsylvania, which was a hold, Michigan and Wisconsin, which helped, of course, those three states helped determine The 2016 election. They made huge gains in state legislatures. Over the term of the Obama presidency, they lost about 1,000 seats across the country in terms of state legislators. They picked up 333, so a third, and still some are still rolling in. They've won 30-plus House seats. They actually, this morning, it was announced they took the Georgia 6th district from Karen Handel, who had won it in a special election. The Democrats took it. It's a lady, Laura Macbeth, whose son was actually killed. It was a victim of gun violence. She took it. What's important about the Georgia 6th district? Well, that's Newt Gingrich's old stomping grounds. And then there's all sorts of key ballot initiatives that passed. And interestingly, even states like Kansas elected a Democratic governor, defeating Kris Kobach down there, which is fantastic news. That man is a bigot and the extreme and a champion of voter suppression. And then you've got people like Gretchen Whitmer up in Michigan, who took the governor's mansion there, Democrat. She, as another pod was saying today, she's really kind of put back together in Michigan the coalition that Obama had before, which is she's narrowed the margins that that Trump ran up with working class voters in 2016. She narrowed that margin significantly to claim the governor's mansion while driving up massive margins in the affluent areas outside of Detroit and in the suburbs. So that's fantastic. On the downside, you did lose, if you were a Democrat, you lost the seats, your Senate seats, McCaskill in Missouri, Claire McCaskill in Missouri, Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota, Joe Donnelly in Indiana. But those are deep, deep red states. And then I guess as a little bit of something, you've got Jackie Rosen, who picked up a Republican seat in Nevada. And John Tester, Democrat from Montana, as deep red as you can get, held on by 2,000 votes last night. And there are still recounts going on, provisional ballots being counted. And some of these races that were called early, like the Florida governorship, that one looks like it could actually turn into either a recount or Andrew Gillum could win that one. But maybe he conceded too early. But, you know, overall, good night, great night, terrific night. What night? What? Give us a rating on out of 1 out of 10, you guys.
Well, in my fantasy, they would have taken more House seats and they would have flipped the Senate too. But I understand why the Senate wasn't going to happen. But I thought they'd do slightly better than they did. But there's still some very scary signs in the tea leaves for Trump when you look at who did get out to vote and the people who are the most energized. So, yeah, I'd give it an 8 out of 10.
Wow. That's pretty good, even with the Senate losses. Yeah.
Well, we kind of knew that was going to happen. But, the polls were suggesting that was going to happen. But, yeah.
What about you, Mike?
I don't really worry about the Senate. I mean, it does suck to lose seats, but the Democrats that did lose seats were kind of red Democrats anyways. They were, you know, these are Democrats that have a conscience, but they also, you know, they're heavily pro guns and they're heavily, you know, they're it's hard to be a Democrat in a red state. But this is also a bad year for the Senate. There was only the Senate seats that were available to flip. We're never going to flip Democrat anyways. What's going to be interesting is in 2020, when two Senate seats in particular come up. One is the Maine Senate seat.
Susan Collins
seat. Yes. And then the other one is, do you remember when Trump was trying to get that whack job elected, and then the senator kind of came out of nowhere. Is in my head, and now that I'm
not
talking
Roy Moore,
about it, not Roy, Roy Moore, the guy that won. Doug Jones. Doug Jones' seat comes up in 2020
That's
as well.
Right.
And Doug Jones
in Alabama.
He was elected because he was not Roy Moore. So, you know, these are seats that are probably, I wouldn't say easy to get, but they're definitely seats that the Democrats can go for. So the Senate's weird. As far as the House goes, I kind of thought the Democrats would do better. They only, you know, 218 was the majority. They got, what, 222?
Yeah, but it's increasing. It's increasing. They've already picked up two or three, and there's still recounts going on in California. They think by the time it's all said and done, they'd probably net about 35 to 38 seats more.
And that's great. That is great, but it isn't, you know, it's fantastic. It's what I hoped America would, like, I always had this kind of, and we've said it on the pod, that I believe in Americans more than I believe in what's happening in America right now.
Yeah.
And I really thought that you know, I know they're good people, and I know they're smart people, and I know that they're active people. I mean, their country's history is that they fight for what's right. And I thought that they'd do better, to be honest with you. So I'm not giving it an 8. I'm going to give it a 5 because everything's kind of predictable.
I'm going to say
I expected no more and I expected no less.
Okay, well, I'm going to give it, I think I was a little bit more disappointed about losing the Senate because that's the judgeships, right? That's the Supreme Court. And of course, Ruth Bader Ginsburg falling today, or last night rather, and breaking 3 ribs just reminds you of how precarious that liberal votes, those liberal votes are on the Supreme Court. Stephen Breyer, Justice Breyer is 80. Ruth Bader Ginsburg will be 86 next year. And now with 3 broken ribs, that's not good. So I would have liked to see the Senate fall into Democratic hands, obviously, or at least a closer margin. That being said, I love the fact that Nancy Pelosi gets the Speaker's gavel again, and she's not going to be pushed around though, and the Democrats aren't going to be pushed around. And the best part about what they can do is they can now subpoena, and they have all sorts of investigatory power on the Trump administration, and they can check him. There can't be anything. If it's Speaker Pelosi, there cannot be any piece of legislation that goes through the Congress now that does not have her signature on it, that does not have her approval. So you can kiss goodbye to a lot of the backwardsness and the attempts at stealing health care away from millions of Americans that the Trump administration has been trying to do with their repeal Obamacare efforts. And you can thank the majority of Americans for putting Democrats in by a 9%. Winning the popular vote by 9% overall, which is fantastic. And Mike, as you were talking about the Alabama Senate race for Doug Jones in 2020, well, now, of course, that Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, was resigned, by President Trump yesterday. He is apparently musing about going back into the Senate and trying to reclaim his seat, which, of course...
Was that his seat, the Doug Jones seat?
Yes, yeah. Imagine being Jeff Sessions. I mean, granted, you're a gross little elf, but you're a bigot too. But imagine, like, you give up your career in the Senate, only to be summarily fired by the man that you were the first one to endorse among Republican senators, and this is how you're repaid. And now you've got to go and troll back. But he will. He will.
He knew that was coming. He knew that Trump was only not firing because of the midterms. He knew as soon as the midterms were done, he was out.
Right? Maggie Haberman was very quick to point out that Sessions' resignation letter didn't have a date on it.
Yeah, exactly. It was one of those ones that might have been sitting in the book or desk drawer waiting till after the midterms. I would just say I have to give my rating. I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay.
A light 7, maybe like a very light 7. But I also think that we are underestimating just how awesome it is that the Democrats going into the 2020 census now control the states, state legislatures or governor's mansions in the places where the majority of Americans live. This means that they will be able to fix things like gerrymandered congressional maps, state districts, what have you. That is fantastic news. Means that they will roll back a lot of the voter suppression efforts that folks like Scott Walker and Chris Kobach and others have done across the country to depress turnout. And hopefully in 2020, that coalition that came together on Tuesday night will hold and grow and defeat the orange menace in the election. But now, speaking of him, let's go over and find out how he was doing at his press conference the day after the midterms.
They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's
I
not an invasion.
I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
All right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
If I may ask one other question, Mr. President, are you worried?
That's enough. That's enough.
Mr. President, Mr. President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that you may have
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation?
Mr. President.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
I think that's unfair.
You're a very rude person. The way you treat Sarah Huckabee is horrible.
Oh.
And the way you treat other people are horrible. You shouldn't treat people that way. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Peter. In Jim's defense, I've traveled with him and watched him. He's a diligent reporter who busts.
Well, I'm not a big fan of yours either. So
I understand.
To be honest.
So let me ask you a question, if I can. You repeatedly
You are the best,
Mr. President. You repeatedly over the course
of. Just sit down, please. Well, when you report fake news, no. When you report fake news, which CNN does a lot, you are the enemy of the people. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mr. President. Yemi Shalcender with PBS NewsHour. On the campaign trail, you called yourself a nationalist. Some people saw that as emboldening white nationalists. Now people are also saying
That's such a racist question.
There are some people that say that now the Republican Party is seen as supporting white nationalists because of your rhetoric. What do you make of that?
I don't believe it. I don't know. Why do I have my highest poll numbers ever with African Americans? Why do I have among the highest poll numbers with African Americans? I mean, why do I have my highest poll numbers? That's such a racist question. Honestly, I mean, I know you have it written down and you're going to tell me. Let me tell you, that's a racist question.
And Mr. President, I
love
ask...
You know what the word is? I love our country. I do. You have nationalists, you have globalists. I also love the world. And I don't mind helping the world, but we have to straighten out our country first. We have a lot of problems. Excuse me. But to say that, what you said, is so insulting to me. It's a very terrible thing that you said.
And Mr. President, people have you talked about middle class tax cuts on the campaign trail. How will you get Democrats to support that policy?
You have to ask them.
Well, hey, what's your plan for working with Democrats on my middle class tax plan?
You know what my plan is? I'll ask them. And if they say yes, I'm all for it. And if they say no, there's nothing you can do because you need their votes. Go ahead. You just have to sit down, please. Sit down. I didn't call you. I'll give you voter suppression. Take a look at the CNN polls, how inaccurate they were. That's called voter suppression. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. President.
I'm not responding. I'm not responding to you. I'm talking to this gentleman. Will you please sit down? Would you please sit down? Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now that the House of Representatives
very hostile,
has
it's such a hostile media. It's so sad. You ask me about you rudely interrupted him.
Go ahead. He seems to be handling it well.
Honestly, he should be in a psychiatric ward, right? Like he should be in a psychiatric ward. Did you see him walk away from the podium when Jim Acosta was on him?
With his arms straight up the side.
Fight him? Like, you think you're going to, are you going to get down with your penguin body and fight Jim Acosta? Is that what you're trying to do by striding away from the podium and going back and forth? And every single one of those questions and all of the reporters were unfailingly polite, right? It wasn't like anybody got in his face. They asked very fair questions. And if you have an issue with the word nationalist or nationalism, explain that you don't mean it in the traditional and racist tradition of the word. You don't mean it as in white nationalism. You mean that you're an America First guy. Say that.
Yeah, but that even has not. But America First has Nazi connotations.
Well, it's a trade thing too, right? That's used to be their protectionist provisions in even when Obama was around, where it was called the America First, protectionism provisions in that first term of Obama's. In any event, just explain why you don't mean what people are accusing you of meaning when you say the word nationalist, if that's what the point you're trying to make. You don't call her a racist. And can I just tell you, as a former White House correspondent myself,
yes.
You know what my question would have been?
Sure.
You know what my question would have been to him? Hey, Mr. President, is your diaper full? Is that why you're so agitated? Is it irritating your tiny little balls and your little mushroom dick? Is it full? Is it too tight? Because Depends goes to extra large, or is it too full and you need to put a fresh Depends on because your whole body is a big ball of urine?
Well, you'd probably have to tighten it up a little bit. It was a few run-on sentences. There.
That would have been my question.
But,
I don't know how they don't lose it. I can envision myself losing it and walking out of a news conference.
Okay, so let's just review. So Jim Acosta was the one that Trump was taking to the woodshed, then followed with, I can't remember who his name is, from NBC. The other lady who asked the question is an African-American reporter. Yashimi, I can't remember the last name, but she is from PBS, and April Ryan, who is a White House correspondent as well, African-American as well, was the one that he was telling to sit down about voter suppression. Later on in the evening, the White House released a video of the exchange between Trump and Jim Acosta that everybody had already seen, and in it, you can see the White House, this intern trying to take the microphone away from Acosta, and his arm brushes hers. The White House has actually released a video that makes it look as though they've actually doctored the speed of the arm to make it look like he is hitting her. They have subsequently removed his hard pass. And I don't know what a hard pass is, Leanne, but
that just means you can go every day.
So
it means you have access to every White House briefing.
Yes. Well, he doesn't anymore.
It's hard to get. It took me 2 years.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the difference? You've got hard passes and then what?
A hard pass just means you're in whenever you want to be. Whenever you want to go into the White House, you can go in for any kind of news conference. I don't know if there's anything called a soft pass. You can get day passes. So you can talk to the White House press office and they'll give you a day pass. But a hard pass is a hard thing to get when you're not an American news organization because you don't represent votes. So it took me 2 years. But anyway, I finally got it.
Mike, how do you think the president's handling the messaging coming out of the blue wave on Tuesday night?
I think it's more than that. I think that Donald Trump is really bad at press conferences because every time he has one, the narrative in subsequent days is, holy shit, did you see that press conference? So his people do a pretty good job, to be honest, of keeping him away from non-scripted press conferences, and he just really shouldn't do them because he's terrible at them. But with the Acosta thing, the thing that jumped out with me is, you know, the White House is taking this line of like, you know, we absolutely will not tolerate any type of physical confrontation towards women from people like, you know, Jim Acosta. And this is coming from a White House who not only is the president accused of multiple infractions of sexual misconduct, but Donald Trump also defends, you know, to the teeth people like Brett Kavanaugh and I forget the guy's name, the guy that was hooking up with Hope Hicks, his like one of his advisors that they fired. You know, these are all guys that have, you know, misconduct and abuse allegations against them, and now they're taking this hard stand against Jim Acosta, who, you know, only reason he made contact with that White House staffer is because she was trying to grab a microphone from him.
And it was literally his arm was gesturing. Yeah.
As he said, excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah.
Right. He wasn't even looking at her. He was looking at the president. So, you know, the biggest villain in all of this, because I have no faith in Trump because he's just a dotty old man who doesn't know how to handle a press conference. It's that Sarah Huckabee Sanders with a straight face is trying to push this whole Jim Acosta abused a White House intern. Like she should be prosecuted for that. Like Jim Acosta should just file as many lawsuits
Somebody suggested that he should sue them for slander, libel.
Absolutely, I would. Absolutely.
But the other thing is, I honestly think it's deliberate when he does that at news conferences because his base hates the media. So he goes out there, struts out there, big baby, and picks fights, little, you know, pissy little temper tantrumy fights with the media. And he thinks his base loves that. And that's why he does it. I really do. I don't think it's just that he's bad at them. I think it's performative. I think he's doing it bad on purpose because he knows his base despises the media, which he has helped stoke, right?
But I also think another
enemy of the people. You tell your crowd, your base, they lie all the time. They're the enemy of the people. They're rude, and then you go out and you pick fights with them and say, "See, he does it on purpose."
I was just going to say, I don't think it's a coincidence that he's picking this huge fight with the press the day he fires the attorney general, right?
Which like, he did. Yeah, he did. But the thing is, the attorney general's resignation / firing came later in the day. So by that point, the news conference was over. But now you've got the video and the hard pass. So what is the media focusing on? Jim Acosta being denied access to the White House and a doctored video, and not about Jeff Sessions and the fact that the Mueller investigation has now been compromised because Trump has put an unqualified partisan hack in as acting attorney general, the Sessions' old chief of staff, who now will oversee the Russia or the Mueller investigation, rather. This is a guy who has literally written articles and been a talking head saying that that the attorney general should be defunding the Russia investigation to basically starve it of funds, to render it completely useless or shut it down, or that Trump shouldn't cooperate. And this is the man who is now going to be overseeing the Russia investigation. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but now that the Democrats have control of the House, they can't fire Mueller. So
yeah,
Mueller's
not till January. Not till January.
True. But the other thing that bothers me as a journalist is I don't know why the White House Coro Association doesn't sit down, and they should just boycott.
I agree. Why wouldn't they do that?
They should all stand together and solidarity. We're all in the same boat. He's doing it to all of us, except Fox News. But even, J.D. Roberts
even Fox
will ask
News.
Tough questions. He does it to Fox News. The reporters, not Hannity. Anyway, I really feel the White House Coral Association should be really dealing hard with, standing together and figuring out a way to not tolerate this bullshit anymore.
It would be.
But he's abusive.
Yeah, he is abusive. And I love that he says to Acosta, you're a terrible, rude person. It's like, again, projection, right? It's always, he projects onto others exactly what he is. But I mean, this is freedom of the press here, folks. I mean, this is a scary time. And then we've got up here in Canada, the conservative leader shitting out that he's going to war with the media during the election campaign. And they're taking their marching orders from the White House at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue down in Washington. This is freedom of the press that is being snuffed out. This is modern day dictatorship, authoritarianism. It's gross and it needs to stop. And I think, Leanne, you're right. The White House press corps should all say en masse they will not send pool reporters. They will not send anybody to cover anything until Acosta gets
the oxygen.
Exactly. And don't cover any of his rallies, nothing. Until they restore those credentials and stop treating reporters like this. This is crap. But the thing is, they're all for the scoop and the ratings. How on earth, when you are so dependent on Trump for ratings, can you then turn around and ignore him? Because he gets so much free media and free publicity.
Well, I'm not saying you ignore him. I don't argue that you ignore him. I don't argue that you don't cover his rallies, because somebody has to bear witness to that bullshit, right?
Yeah.
You have to cover his rallies. I don't know whether you go live with them all the time, but you write about them. I'm saying in those staged news conferences where he's deciding who gets asked the questions, you stop going to those.
Yeah.
You don't get any news out of them anyway. He just does it to incite people, incite his base. That's the only reason he's doing it. So don't just deprive him of the oxygen.
I agree.
Or just fact check him in real time.
And he lies.
That's a lie. Sorry, that's a lie.
Well, and that's the thing. Bill Maher said something great, and today he said, just once, I would love one reporter to stand up when Trump is saying something about how mean the media is and say, that's because you're a liar, sir. If you didn't lie, we wouldn't have to call you out. Like that's it. Why can't one of them say it?
When he said to that one reporter, that's why I've got the best poll numbers among African Americans. Why she didn't say that? Well, actually, that's not true. But anyway,
I know they never know call him out. And even Judy Woodruff was talking to Daniel Dale of the Toronto Star recently. And she says, well, why do you call the president a liar? And I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, because he is. He lies about everything. So I'm not going to say that he's misleading people. He's blatantly lying. And he said, and it's important that we call it out for what it is, which is lies. And so you call lies out.
Yeah.
To the benefit of the free speech that you want to protect and the free access that you want to protect. And unfortunately, the reporters seem unwilling to do that for the most part. Of course, it takes a Canadian and Jim Acosta.
Well, I also get why it's difficult to do in that forum. Like, you've got the eyes of the world on you. You're in a situation where you have about 10 seconds to ask your question. You know, I can see not wanting to get into a big brawl with the president in a news conference. And I do think that reporters are doing it in their writing and their reporting. Like when you read the New York Times, the Washington Post, USA Today, even they will say, okay, and this is demonstrably untrue. I do understand as a journalist why it's hard to do it. And I do sense, I almost sense some fear there from a couple of them. And when I watched the news conference yesterday, like they seemed almost fearful of him. Like, how crazy is this guy? Like, he does seem like he belongs in the psychiatric ward, right? Like, you can tell when you're dealing with him that this is not a normal person. So then do you want to be the reporter who's, I don't know. I think it's difficult to do it in a live situation that way, is all I'm saying.
Okay, let's come back here to home, and we're going to talk about Tony Clement and his lewd pictures, but after we go through this little clip of Andrew Scheer's wishy-washiness about his former caucus colleague.
Hunting or not, he has a security clearance because he sits on that committee. So the fact that he's probably betraying his wife puts him in a situation where he's vulnerable. So in itself, consenting or not, is it not a problem?
Well, of course it is a problem. It's a terrible decision, and obviously any ramifications about national security issues are now before PCO Security, the RCMP, and National Security Agency. So I'll leave it to them. Those are the experts on these types of things.
Do you think it was targeted because he sits on that committee?
It's not for me to speculate that level of what motivated this person to go down this path. I'm not going to speculate on that. I'll leave that to the RCMP and National Security Agency.
Tony Clement, at my request, has resigned from caucus. There were, I took him at his word that this was an isolated incident. Since then, there have been numerous reports of other incidents, allegations. So in that respect, I've asked Tony to resign from caucus so that he can respond to these allegations.
But these are only the young women on Twitter who said they're receiving inappropriate messages from him, like Lawrence Brown.
As I said, new information became available today that suggests that there are allegations that this was not an isolated incident, and therefore I've asked Tony to resign from caucus, and he has done so.
So let's just recap. So Tony Clement is the Member of Parliament for Parry Sound Muskoka. He was the Treasury Board Minister under Prime Minister Stephen Harper. He was Health Minister under Prime Minister Stephen Harper for a time. He then, previously to that, he was a senior minister in the Mike Harris government. He served up until Wednesday, rather, as shadow justice critic. Such as it is, and he also served on the National Security Committee of parliamentarians who, I guess it, the equivalent kind of would be the Intelligence Committee of the United States. So he has access to top secret information, and it's a way to have civilian oversight of our intelligence services here in Canada. And he has been firing off, apparently, videos and pictures of what I can only assume is not his nipple. I'm pretty sure that Tony's been showing something else, probably fits in the palm of his hand. And he's apparently been doing it quite often to individuals who are in between the ages of, 19 to 26 year old women, right. Medium length brown hair. And this has been going on for quite some time. So earlier, one of the things that didn't get into the clips is that Scheer had said, well, I take him, the first comment he had is that Clement was resigning his positions as critic and on committees and such, but he takes Tony at his word and he was going to be a member of caucus. Then all this other stuff has started to come out that this has been going on for quite some time, and that he apparently has a love of going on Instagram and liking all these random girls' pictures and just kind of being a disgusting pig. So let me put it first to you. Mike, do you have a problem at your office with sending dirty pictures to colleagues?
Listen, what the hell is going on with these politicians? Like, I mean, the first, obviously, everyone's going to make the Anthony Weiner comparison. And this guy is on has a prolific social media presence. So it's not like he's some old man that didn't, thought that Google was Facebook or whatever. Why are these politicians? First of all, I mean, I don't send my pictures of my body to anybody, but whatever. I don't know how to put myself in that headspace. But politicians, like, there is so much evidence that this is something you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? Like, just what the hell, man? Like, stop using social media to take pictures of your wang and send it to girls? Or how about just don't send pictures, but that's a different conversation. You're a politician. You understand how information moves around. Stop doing that. Like, why are you doing that, man? Like just let's sit down.
It's almost like it's a self-sabotaging thing. Like, haven't you seen what happened to Wiener? He's either still in jail or he just got out of jail.
He got out.
Like,
but they say he's in rehab. What's he in rehab for? Not taking pictures of your wang and sending it to girls? Like, what could he possibly be in rehab for?
Yeah, exactly. He's a dirty perv. I mean, it's so, and Tony Clement, it couldn't happen to a better person. Honestly, he's just such a, I mean, the hypocrisy of the Family Values Party that is the Conservatives. Let's also remember that the other, I mean, Stephen Harper, you sure know how to pick him. You gave us Patrick Brazzo. You've given us Mike Duffy. You gave us Bev Oda. You've even given us Vic Taves. You remember Vic? Vic Taves, who now has a federal judgeship on the Court of Queen's Bench in Manitoba. He liked to pork around with the babysitter. Kind of interesting. And now we've got dirty ass Tony Clement rubbing one out in a video and sending it to women who apparently he has a boner for, I guess.
It's also weird though that she was trying to extort him for 50,000 euros. I'm like, where did this person live? Euros, yeah, it's euros. Like, was it like a Russian mail order bride, or like what was he doing?
He must be overseas. It must be somebody overseas. Right?
Leanne, is Tony?
I don't get it either.
Leanne, is Tony Clement a victim?
Is he a victim?
Well, because if you read the press release that came out, and he basically says, oh, well, I believe that this was all consensual, and now now somebody is trying to extort me, and it tried to make him sound like such a victim. But is he a victim? Who are the victims?
Okay, here's my thing. Oh, God, I can't believe I'm saying this. Has one of the people who he sent the explicit images to complained? No? Right?
Well, apparently there are going to be some stuff coming out here in the next few days.
I've read a friend of mine actually saying maybe kicking him out of the caucus at this stage seems slightly puritanical. Like, did somebody on the receiving end complain? Did they?
I'd wager they might have been blinded and rendered mute by what they saw.
You know, we're in a digital age, and unfortunately that's how people flirt and get to know
each other.
Who
flirts like that?
I'm not saying dick pics. Well, I'm not saying dick pics, but I'm saying, did somebody on the receiving end complain and say this is terrible and inappropriate? Since it's come out, now as people saying he liked my photos on Instagram and it freaked me out, which, you know, to me that's okay. Were you in a bikini? Like,
well, but either way, he's a former minister of the crown. He was minister of justice in Ontario.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm not entirely, it's making me slightly uncomfortable just because I have not heard anyone on the receiving end of these pictures say this grossed me or make a complaint. So then,
no, you're right. You're right, Leanne. Might not be criminal, but it's certainly stupid.
Well, then are we putting, we're making, it's certainly stupid. I'm just not, I don't know.
Well, if anybody's listening and want to and have received a Tony Clement cock shot or video, you can send it to. Please send it to Leanne. Leanne would like to see it.
No. I actually got drunk with him and Jim Flaherty once in Washington, D.C. And Flaherty was more flirtatious than he was. I guess I was far too old. But I'm not condoning it. I think it's gross. I personally find it creepy. If anybody sent me a dick pic, even the person I am dating right now, if he sent me a dick pic, I would be, dude, put it away.
I liked what somebody posted on Twitter. They said, does this qualify as a dick pic? And it was a picture of Pierre Poilievre.
But
that's
in the absence of someone having complained about it, I'm sort of confused. Obviously, he's nervous. Well, it's true. And that's why the statement came out. I'm a bit confused by this one.
What is happening here? 2 weeks ago, we had Mike being supportive of false flags for the pipe bombing. Suddenly, we've got Leanne, who's in favor of dick pic sending by senior politicians. What is happening to this show? What is happening?
I would feel more comfortable weighing in on him being a complete repulsivo if I knew that someone had complained. Like, I'm with the women. Maybe somebody on the end of this was like, yeah, send it along.
The
Bring
end
it
of
on.
What?
I want to see it.
The end of what? 5.5 inches?
No, but Cameron, I'm going to, you know, my whole statement on him was that he's a stupid politician.
Stupid.
That's my angle I'm taking. I'm not getting into a criminal angle or calling him a perv. I'm just saying he's an idiot.
Well, I think he is. I think it is perverse. I think if you're a married man with three kids and you're a senior politician, especially the shadow justice critic, and you sit on the National Security System, Committee, what kind of a fucking idiot are you that you have to go?
It's
not only stupid, but it's dangerous. It's dangerous. You are sitting on a committee of parliamentarians that are in charge of national security, and you're sending cock pictures? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, it's totally stupid and irresponsible. So, yes, he probably did deserve to get the boot, but I'm a bit uncomfortable that I haven't heard of anyone on the receiving end of those pictures who has complained. Maybe they're out there, and if they come forward, I will totally change my point of view. Having said that, totally apart from that, did Andrew Scheer not sound terrible in those scrums? Like, he's so nervous and scared, right? Is this how he's going to, like, quiver and freak out?
Oh, he's so wishy-washy.
Scandal?
Oh, my God.
He was so, like, wimpy and tremorous. That's not even a word. Trembly and, like, scared. Like, wow, what a...
His mom probably called him home for dinner and he was afraid he was going to get in trouble.
Right? His mom didn't make the gravy, right?
Yeah.
There are too many lumps in the mom's mashed potatoes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, Tony Clement, I'd say clean up your act, but yeah, I don't know that there's enough tissue for that.
Oh.
Just kidding around.
That raise is an ugly thing that I don't even want to think about.
I'll tell you. Okay. You want to raise next? You want to raise an ugly thing? Apparently it's been raised and sent around the world once or twice, at least that we know of. All right, I think we're done the Tony Clement topic, and we are shifting gears to stories of the week. Mike, you get to go first.
So my story of the week isn't really a story of the week. It's more of an explanation of the week. So last week on this show, we were talking about freedom of speech a little bit, and I think too it's important to point out to people how we do this show. I don't have a script; we just say whatever we say when it happens. So apparently, my quote on the show is something along the lines of, "If you believe in freedom of speech, you are a racist," or something.
And we're gonna play that clip.
Hate leaders in America have kind of migrated to this app Gab that calls itself a free speech app. And I'm going to be the first person to say, if you're one of those people that thinks that in 2018 you have to defend free speech, then you're probably a racist.
Yeah.
Actually, you are a racist. I mean, that's the only free speech that people are trying to limit nowadays, right? So I was called out on it, which is fair. And I was called out on it by smart people. And one of them actually was my brother, who's an incredibly smart guy.
Oh.
And He is, and he called me up on it to just basically say, hey, man, that sounded kind of crazy that you said that. I listen to your show all the time. That was one of the crazier things you've said. And I think the issue that I have with it is I know what I meant, but I think that because I talk to you guys and we all kind of agree on the same stuff, that we know each other's inferences when we make comments like that. Because I know that when I said, yeah, if you believe in freedom of speech, you're a racist, I know one of you two was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think I need to just clarify that. And the reason why I want to clarify it is because I don't want anyone, you know, one of the big critiques that people on the left get is that we overreact to a lot of things. And I agree that the left does overreact to a lot of things. So I don't want this to be an overreaction. So what I mean by that is actually I am a big supporter of freedom of speech, but in 2018, we have free speech. So let me quantify that. You, as a listener, and Cameron and Leanne and myself, we have free speech. And the only time, really, in 2018 that people would ever tell us, like, hey, man, you can't say that, is if you're saying something so truly awful that, you know, you can't say it in today's society. And in, you know, the background on that is, what is something that would be so truly awful that you just cannot say it in a civilized society in 2018? Usually it's something that's either racist or homophobic or extremely misogynist. And maybe there's a couple other ists out there, but anything really that ends in an ist, that's something you can't say. And you can't say that not because people want to infringe your freedom of speech, but you can't say that because it's hate speech and you're being an asshole, and it's actually illegal to promote violence and hate towards minority groups or people that, you know, anybody really. It's illegal to do that. So my point was, when I said, if you believe in freedom of speech, you're a racist, that's not what I meant, because I believe in freedom of speech. For example, another example that was brought up by my brother was, because we're both in Toronto, and Steve Bannon was here last week, and there was a huge protest about it. And I absolutely believe that Steve Bannon should have the right to speak. And I have the, and I absolutely believe that Steve Bannon should have, should be questioned, should be debated, because he's an idiot, obviously. But he does have the right to speak. That's not something that I would want to limit. My point is, in 2018, the people that kind of their identity is built around fighting for free speech, those people usually are racist. And that's what I was trying to say.
Well,
does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes, because the so-called free speech warriors today, I know this from the work I've done at the Conversation Canada, generally tend to be the people like Faith Goldie and those idiots that were marching in Charlottesville.
Yep.
They are what are known as free speech warriors, and what they're doing is deliberately conflating free speech and hate speech. It's not the same thing. And I agree that Bannon should be, I agree he shouldn't have been banned at that thing, especially when you've got David Frum on there who's going to go at him. And I disagree that he's stupid. He's not stupid. That's what's scary about Steve Bannon. He's actually really smart. He just believes terrible things. So I agree. These people need to be debated, and they need to have a platform so that people can debate them. But don't conflate free speech with hate speech. Don't try to tell me that being able to say that the Holocaust never happened or
exactly.
that the Jews deserve to be gassed. Don't tell me that's free speech. It's not.
It's not. And don't confuse
so I understood
free speech
what you
with
meant.
Hate speech. Yeah.
I'm Mike's brother. Be easy on your brother. I knew what he meant.
He wasn't being hard on me. He just made me reflect on it, right? Because
That was good.
Look, we're like episode 20 whatever into this. I probably said, like, you know, we got to be careful sometimes with what we say, because people actually are listening to this podcast, which is awesome.
Oh, God.
But I know, right? But I mean, at the end of the day, hey, man, if you want to call me out on it, then call me out. That's fine. And if I know I'm wrong, I'll admit it.
All right.
You're right, though.
Okay. And I got to go soon. So I'm going to do mine real fast, if that's okay, because I got to go to another call at 11. I do apologize.
That's fine.
But the NRA, that domestic terrorist organization, the NRA, tweeted yesterday, just on the eve of another mass shooting where I think 12, 13 people were killed this morning at a club in
California.
Near Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Here's the NRA. Someone should tell self-important anti-gun doctors to stay in their lane. Half of the articles in Annals of Internal Medicine are pushing for gun control. Most upsetting, however, the medical community seems to have consulted no one but themselves. That's what's most upsetting about the rash of mass shootings afflicting the United States, is that the doctors who have to try to save lives after bullets have been ripped through
them
from wartime assault weapons should be pro-gun control. Most upsetting.
Bastards. Damn you, medical community. You trying to save lives and stitch people up?
Honest to God, they are a domestic terrorist organization. They really are.
NRA, not
yes.
the American
no, the
Medical
NRA.
Association.
The NRA.
Okay.
The NRA.
That's a good one. But I was just going to add my story of the week, which is, woman who claims to have had sex with 20 ghosts is now engaged to one. Amethyst Realm, 30 of
Goat?
Bristol. Yes. Ghosts. Says she has had sex with at least 20 ghosts since she was a teenager, but wasn't looking for a new relationship when she went to Australia on a business trip. They are now engaged. She never saw him. He couldn't get down on his knees. She said she just heard his voice. So she's going to be getting married to a ghost, and she's hoping to have his baby. And that's that is
Sorry,
not fake news.
Like ghosts, like boo, or goats, like
no
bad?
boo. Oh,
okay,
like Casper. She basically wants to pork Casper the ghost.
Okay.
Anyhow, on that happy note,
maybe my life, my personal life, might have been happier if I'd only dated ghosts.
Well, my ex-wife was kind of like one when we were married. She was never home. That was kind of a nice time.
Goats would have been funnier, to be honest.
Goats would have been way funnier.
I don't want to know what people will do with the horns, because we already see what Tony Clement does with his. All right, on that note.
Say goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.